here.
Damn.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the bold, the king of king himself, the man who never, ever wear a Halloween mask because I'm 24/7 real. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one who's dressed in his Speedos right now for Halloween.
The one and only Sean Black, who's in the building once again. And happy Halloween, woogie boogie. Boo and stuff. Speaking of boo and stuff, who else is with us doing the show?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Doing well. Doing well. Happy Halloween and stuff. Woogie
Happy
boogie.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, boy. This is a first. I don't think we did the last year when we did our show. I don't believe we would. It wasn't Halloween when we did our show. But,
no, it wasn't.
Imagine the kooks and crazies that are outside going out asking for candy and et cetera, et cetera.
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah. Were you out trick-or-treating?
Well, of course. Of course, me and Nisha have to go chase after the men outside. Of course we were trick-or-treating.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I know you have two young ones, Hot Rod. I'm pretty sure that at some point, if it wasn't yesterday or today, you must have went out and did something with the kids.
No, I took my son out from store to store to go out trick-or-treating. I mean, he's going to be 3 in a few weeks. Oh, gosh.
Well,
he was very excited. And I'm like, really? I'm wasting my time collecting diabetes from people, from strangers? Give me a break.
Oh, boy.
But, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call to tell us your thoughts, questions, or comments is 347-989-8402, 347-989-8402. Now, is this a trick or a treat? Are you guys ready to piss some people off?
Why, I think we should, yes.
Of course.
And I think we should do that as a treat, not a trick.
Hmm.
But,
it is a treat.
Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about Halloween, since we're on the topic of Halloween. As you guys know, the Hot Rod don't celebrate anything because he's a pure drunk. He loves to drink. That's the only thing he celebrates, his birthday and drinking.
Hmm.
How, Sean, you know more about Halloween than I do because you study these things. Bottom line, do you think Halloween is overrated? Do we should care about Halloween or is it just for the kids? Or just another excuse for us to go out and spend money on nonsense?
I think just like every other day that started off as a holiday or started off as some sort of tradition, it's turned into commercialism, which has happened with Christmas, it's happened with Halloween, it's happened with Valentine's Day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of these days that were usually initially used as, which a lot of people don't realize, were either festivals or were religious days, are now turned into buy some cards, buy some candy, buy some whatever. And get into a bunch of clothes that you know you're going to look goofy in, something that you wouldn't be caught at work with, people walking around and, you know, I guess the bottom line with the entire holiday, I think, is if you are one of those type of people that are into Halloween, enjoy it, especially if you have it for the kids. Because for the most part, let's really be honest, it's mostly geared towards children. I personally don't do the trick-or-treating. I've only trick-or-treated once, and that was when I was in kindergarten. So we're talking like, you know, I was 5 or 6, and that's the only time I've ever done it. You see people trick-or-treat all over the place. And me growing up, we were always told that trick-or-treating was dangerous, you know, based on the fact that you had a lot of, you know, unwell people that used to put razor blades in the candy and that kind of thing. And the parents had to worry about who you're getting candy from. And it wasn't all about that. That's not what it was based on. It was initially called All Hallows Eve, and it was initially a pagan holiday. There were a lot of traditions from Celtic harvest festivals that came about from, like I said, it's Celtic pagan roots, and it evolved over time, and it initially was a Christian holiday as it started to evolve and take some traditions from different countries and different places and moved along. Eventually, it found its way into the United States and in North America, and the whole premise behind it is putting in costumes, which is, as I said, influenced by Christian dogma and practices derived from having a mask and a costume. And it's supposed to be the evening before the Christian holy days of All Hallows Day, which is supposed to be All Saints Day, November the 1st, or All Souls Day, which is November the 2nd. And it's derived from religious backgrounds, and we've come from religion to how much candy can you take?
Okay, well, I'm sorry. You was pulling me to sleep with your history lesson.
Hey, you have to learn somehow.
Halloween is about having fun, taking the kids out, going to hayrides, pumpkin picking, just a day of fun. Getting dressed up when you can still enjoy it, going out dancing with your friends, hanging out in the parade. It's about having fun.
Well, I definitely agree with you.
Putting me to sleep, bullshit. You're not having fun.
I just gave you the background of where it came from. Now,
it's about having fun.
Yeah, or for you guys, it's about getting drunk and waking up the next day with a huge headache.
No, it's the costumes. They're fun.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean,
it's fun, but people take Halloween too seriously. I think
people take
degree.
Everything too seriously.
Anything. People take things to the extreme these days.
But
yeah.
Why are we celebrating the living of the dead or evil things to that type of nature? Like, here I am, I'm a follower of God and all that stuff, but here I am worshiping the dead at the same time. Is it Halloween have something to do with evil too? Like Haitian culture, like my parents back then, they don't want to celebrate Halloween because that is a celebration of the evilness of voodoo and all that stuff. My mother will curse me out to this day if I talk about somebody Halloween. No, Halloween is the devil.
You didn't go trick or treating when you were a kid?
No.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of cultures, especially in West Indian cultures from the islands, that look, especially if you're from a highly religious family, that really look down on Halloween and the practice of getting dressed up and going to people's houses and essentially begging for candy. I think if you're one of those type of people that enjoys to be scared, like for me, what I love doing is on Halloween, I like to watch a bunch of scary movies. I like the Saw franchise, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. I like to sit down and watch scary movies. But considering the way the world has been, I think I could just turn on the news and be just as scared.
Calm down, Sean. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black said he liked to watch scary movies. But this is the same bitch that Anisha and I take to Coney Island, and we beg him to go on a ride, and he be chicken scared. I don't do rides. But he will sit down and watch a scary movie.
You want to know why?
Does that make sense?
I'll tell you why it makes sense.
He doesn't want to go on any ride. The simplest roller coaster ride. But he will sit down and watch Freddy or Jason. Give me a break.
You
want to
know
that
why?
Doesn't make any sense.
Because there's no danger of me dying while watching Freddy Krueger disembowel
someone. How are you
going
to die on the Ferris? How are you going to die on the Ferris wheel?
Hey, look. If you've been looking at the news lately and you've seen the simple rides that people have gotten on that have either gotten stuck or been upside down or have been twisted or somebody's fallen off or fallen asleep at the operating spot.
True. Okay. But, Sean, take that ratio of one in a million compared to us crossing the street and getting hit by the car. There's more chance of you getting hit by a car compared to getting stuck on a roller coaster.
Well, tell that to the people that that's happened to on those rides. I'll keep my feet safely planted on the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
While everybody else can enjoy. Look, I'm the type of person, I actually like to enjoy watching people have fun. If, you know, you like to go on roller coasters and you like to be, you know, flung around and something, I got no problem with that. The last roller coaster ride that I went on was, if any of you guys remember King's Dominion in Virginia, which is...
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, which is a very good amusement park, which is kind of themed after a lot of the Hanna-Barbera characters in there, like the Jetsons, et cetera, et cetera. They have a ride there called the Anaconda. The Anaconda, which is a ride that mimics you going into a lake. After a loop, it goes around and goes straight through the what appears to be a lake. That was the last roller coaster ride I went on. So
that wasn't even a scary
gosh.
One.
Okay.
I know.
On behalf of the Absolute Truth Show, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to apologize to Sean for being a little bitch that he is.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay, Let's carry on to the next part of Halloween. Sean Black and I talk about this, about pranks. I love a good prank. And we know Halloween, sometimes people play pranks or tricks on other people. But, Anisha, do you think, you know, we watch the internet all the time. Hey, you notice, like, the guy who dressed as a Muslim in all white, he throws a fake bomb or fake bags to people.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, it was hilarious.
And he hit the song Run.
Yeah.
People start running for their lives. Do you think pranks like that, or even better yet, people that come to the hood and tell other guys, pull up their pants, or it's just a prank? Yes, I do find that funny.
Yes.
But do you think pranks are being taken overboard right now?
It depends. See, everyone's view of overboard is different. I have a sense of humor. I'm not sensitive to any of this crap. So to me, it's funny. But then you're going to find an individual who's going to cry like a girl and is very sensitive, blah, 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 and they're going to find it offensive.
Okay, what about the killer clown situation that's been going on lately? About killer clowns scaring people in the neighborhood, and some stores have banned.
I'm not okay with. Like, there's no reason to scare children. Like, that's a line you don't cross. I mean, if you're going to be an adult and, you know, you're going to scare the shit out of another adult, that's one thing. An adult can handle themselves. But when you throw a kid into the equation, that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the issue. The issue isn't necessarily the fact that they're trying to scare children. I think what a lot of these people are doing are, for the most part, trying to become internet famous again. And we've talked about this as far as social media goes. When you have a reputation, so to speak, or an urban legend of some sort, or just the idea that a lot of people are, quote-unquote, scared of clowns because clowns are supposed to be evil, even though we know, like, Ronald McDonald is supposed to be the happy clown, and, you know, kids are supposed to enjoy clowns. For the most part, because of one movie or miniseries that came out years ago, which is this movie It, the Stephen King movie, that clown scared the hell out of so many people that over the years it has grown into this, well, people are now scared of clowns. And you have that creepy clown outfit, and it's the idea that you don't know what this clown is thinking on the inside that's starting to scare people. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is they're remaking It as a movie, and they're putting that out in the movie theaters next year. So we're going to be revisiting this next Halloween. But I think that you're just going, a lot of people are just going off on other people's fears. And when you start to cross over into that idea, and then you get social media behind you, you get a story that's probably bigger than it needs to be.
Well, because of social media, like you say, Sean, people trying to be internet famous, trying to get a ha-ha-ha, and I'm not going to lie, once again, I love these things, even though I know they are wrong to a certain degree. But let's be honest, when they do these pranks of, like I told you before, the guy who dressed in a Muslim outfit.
That's crossing. To me, that's crossing the line, but everybody.
No, that's funny as hell.
No, how's that crossing the line? Okay, if I did the same exact joke, if I took a bag, and start throwing it towards people. You're going to look at me like, you know what, because I'm a black guy, go screw yourself, you're nobody. But if one of us dressed in an all-Muslim outfit with the same bag and throw it, people going to run for their lives. Now, is that prejudging? Is that going over the line?
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason why is because the idea behind the prank is to play on people's fears. But also, depending on who's doing it and who you're doing the prank to, it's also going to play off of their stereotypes. So if, like you said, I've seen those videos because you showed me two or three of those videos over the last few months. And you
and
see the reactions.
I cry.
It's fucking hilarious.
The reactions.
I laugh so hard.
There's a difference between a good-natured joke and a prank that's meant to really, really scare and or hurt somebody. Some pranks just go too far. And there are, like, the one with the guy, like you said, he was dressed up as a terrorist, and I think he was in the mall, and the guy was coming down
the escalator.
He threw the bag at him, and all you hear is, run. And then the guy just ran up the other direction, and that was it? I mean, like, that's just but it also plays on that fear that, just remember, you know, for most people, they didn't have these ideas behind quote-unquote terrorists until the 9/11 attacks. So the first thing that pops into somebody's head when something like that happens is, oh, I don't want to be in another quote-unquote terrorist attack or have another incident happen. So what ends up happening is you see the reactions that you get there. So people have to be careful, because someone will take one of these pranks and think of it as news, and it'll end up on Facebook Live or one of these other things, and it'll be bigger than it needs to be.
Still funny.
One statement I brought up to some other people, you know where they could get away in certain areas with these pranks. You know you cannot do this in the projects. You cannot do this in the hood. You cannot do this in the quote-unquote ghetto. Because no matter where you at, you try this type of pranks in the hood, 95% your ass will get shot, beaten, or stabbed.
Oh,
and to a certain degree, you deserve it. No matter what the consequence is, because you went to the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time and you throw a bag to a bunch of guys from the projects, they're going to take their gun and shoot you, especially when you're dressed up as a terrorist.
Yeah. Now, remember, just 2 years ago, if you remember the whole bath salts craze that was going on all over the place, where people were taking bath salts and going crazy and acting like zombies, then you used to see shortly after that happened, and especially in Miami and certain parts of, I think, Florida, there was a guy that was trying to prank people and get them on the internet by dressing up as a zombie and running around scaring folks with the fake blood dripping out of his mouth and foam coming out of his mouth. And he did that, and he scared a whole lot of people until he went into, as you stated, the wrong neighborhood. He went into, I believe it was a basketball court.
A basketball court,
and
yeah,
there were, I believe, 7 or 8 African-American people playing a game. And he started that nonsense with the whole drooling in the mouth and everything else. And what ended up happening is the guy threw the basketball at him, and they chased him out of the park. This is all caught on camera. So you know your audience when you're doing a prank or something along those lines.
So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, you will play a prank, play it on the white people. They're more easier to get scared. They're more easier to scare them, okay? Do it on the white people only. Matter of fact, do it on the Jews. Play the pranks on the Jews even better.
Black people, you have to know your audience.
We're going to fight back. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
You have to know your audience. That's really what it is.
You really have to know your audience, because if you do it to the wrong person in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time and you don't know what that person's temperament is, you could end up on the news, but for the wrong reason.
Exactly.
But why more and more people are doing this internet sensation thing? I'm like, yes, you get your laugh, but is it really worth it in the long term?
They want their 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah. Everybody
That's really what
thinks,
it is at the end of the day.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that because they have access to a computer, a cell phone, and an app or two, and the internet, they could basically become the next star. And we see, like, YouTube, there's a lot of people online that make their living off of doing things with their own channels. Maybe it's pranks. Maybe it's, like, advice column-type things. Maybe it's just bloopers, fight videos. People get famous on the Internet, and they think that that's their way to stardom. So they do certain things like the pranks and et cetera. And what's going to happen is the wrong person is going to do the wrong thing at the wrong time, and they're going to be not famous but infamous, and it'll be for the exact wrong thing.
So, Sean, if I play a prank on you and became an Internet sensation, do you think you have the right to sue me for, like, mental distress or mental disorder, whatever you're going through in life, with such a wimp?
Well, if I have some sort of mental ailment, or if I'm, you know, emotionally distressed, or I'm going through something, and the prank causes me to snap, then you got an issue there. I mean, I don't know if, you know, who has the leg to stand on, but you have to, you kind of have to take that into consideration. Most people, they do a prank, they figure, oh, this is going to be funny. He's going to do this, she's going to laugh, and well, ha ha, hee hee, it'll be funny. But you don't plan out the what ifs. Like, what if this person reacts a certain way? What if the person I play the prank on happens to have a gun on them? Or what if this person that I play a prank on has a weak heart or a medical condition? You just never know. So you have to really be cautious as to what you're doing and the intensity of the prank. And if it's a prank, it's not meant to hurt anyone. It's meant to be funny, but it's not meant to hurt or harm anyone, and I think that's the difference. A lot of people go and do these pranks online, and they're really, really vindictive, you know? Like the guy, there was a prank, I think it was like last year, this guy pranked his girlfriend who was in the house, and he said he dressed up as a murderer, he had blood or something along those lines, and she thought she was about to get attacked. You know, those kinds of things are just malicious. A prank is, you know, you finding, you know, I don't know. I guess somebody finds a sex toy in their bed and it doesn't belong to them or something along those lines. But
okay, I don't know what's wrong with Sean Black tonight. Either he's been dropped on the head too many times or this is his trick or treat on us. But he is not making sense at all tonight.
No. What I'm saying is that most people, when it comes to pranks, they're not doing anything to be malicious or hurtful or whatever. They're just trying to get a laugh to make sure, it takes the other person out of their comfort zone, but to make it's a funny joke. But some people go the extra arm, that extra length, and they take it too far, and then they don't realize the repercussions that can happen if you do the wrong thing to the wrong person.
Okay, so before I go to K-Dog, Sean Black, will you marry me?
No. Speaking of somebody that was married,
you cheated.
I'm good
right
now.
Don't answer that. There was no flowers. There was no bed on one knee. You didn't get any kind of real treatment. Do not answer that. Make them work for that. Yes.
Well, that could be a trick or a treat. You never know.
Oh, Lord.
Okay,
K Dog.
K Dog, go ahead, K Dog.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's on your mind?
Well, you know what it is about these pranks, man. I've seen them on YouTube, World Star Hip Hop. Yeah, and you're right. They do prank the wrong people because I've seen some people get pretty upset when they get pranked. I mean, like, there's this guy that thought that he could start a fight with a group of guys, and he almost got killed.
Yeah.
They chased him out of the park, man. That guy was about to get jacked up.
Yeah, but what about the guy that likes to walk around slapping phones out of people's hands? Like,
yeah.
You mad at me, bro?
Yeah. That thing was hilarious. But you can't pull pranks on certain people, though, because they don't play
time,
that.
Look at us. We still get laughs from these pranks. I mean, yes, they're overboard. They get out of hand. But to a certain degree, we laugh at them. Like, wow. Because you have crazy kids out there that's doing stupid stuff. And
yeah,
to
YouTube
degree,
sensation.
It's working.
Of course it is, man, because you know why? People want to be online. They want that fame.
You know, to get 10 million views of me slapping a phone from somebody's hand, hey, why
not?
Yeah,
and 10 million views of you getting jacked up doing it to the wrong person.
Or even better, if I get beat up on camera, they're going to love it. It's dangerous.
Oh, yeah,
it's part of the job. But guess what? They're going to love it. And I'll get hits on my website or I'll get hits on my channel because of it. And people are doing this stupidity thinking it's going to make them stars.
Again,
but guys, what do we say all the time? True, but what do we always say all the time? You have to do what's best for business. You have to throw yourself off the cliff to get your 10 million viewers. That's
and watch, and 10 million people watching you die online.
What's the point in doing something if you're not going to live to see the results?
Exactly. And you know, people can't.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because I remember years ago, me and my friends and back in college was playing a prank on some people. We decided to look at the top of the building. We was on the ground looking at the top of the building. Just looking and telling, and we yelling, jump, jump. So more people start coming up and start looking up. Like, what are we looking at? So we had like maybe 20 people around us looking up at the top of the building, like, what's going on up there? But we keep saying, jump, jump.
Wow.
So it was like, you could catch people's attention very easily with just
stupid
things around.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny that you tell people to jump and they're looking up like, is this guy is really going to jump? Really?
Yeah,
like
you want
to see suicide?
I saw one guy. You know what's funny, everyone? There was a video that I saw. Now, mind you, this was a sensations on World Star Hip Hop, YouTube. I don't know. They say it was some crackhead, but this dude did a backflip from the back of a house and landed. Now, dude was limping. He was hurting. Even though I was laughing at the way he did it. And it's like everyone was watching, and the guy that was videotaping it said, yeah, I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy, but I pray for you, brother. Please don't hurt yourself. And dude did it. That was the craziest thing, man, if you've ever seen that video. And he did it for
$2. $2?
On video. Trust me, the video's online.
Hmm.
Well, you do what you have to do to make yourself famous, and that's what the kids love to do today. They want to be famous. Talk about being famous. Let's go on to hip-hop again. This question is going to Anitra B, because she was not here last time. And since you're part white, part West Indian, and part of piece of shit that you are.
Oh, damn.
Do you think, Miss Anitra B, that hip-hop and R&B is officially dead?
I don't think it's dead. I think it's just changed.
In what way?
This generation's different. They're more into the hit it and quit it type of deal. I noticed they think about now. Our generation was more about the fantasy, the romance, this and that. So it reflected that in the music, in the R&B, the soul music, everything we listen to. I think it's just a difference of generation, really.
Okay. All right. To kid off, I know you love music and you love all type of music. I don't remember if I asked this question last time, so forgive me, guys, if I ask the same questions over again because I'm sober.
What have you been drinking, bro, because you didn't remember?
Nah, I've been sober today. I have to. I'm on medication again. That's my trick.
Congratulations.
But with Justin Timberlake, Ryan McElmoore, and more artists coming over to the hip-hop and R&B genre, do you think it spells trouble for the black music and artists today?
Well, you know, let me just start by saying this is that, you know, Justin Timberlake, Macklemore, and you know, whites, there was a pattern back in the 1960s called Blue Eyed Soul, where there were white artists who were singing and attempted to sound like black artists, and it was going on for the longest. Now you look at it, it's like the originality is gone from the music, and I'm going to tell you why. Because everyone is trying to sound like the other person. And that's what's wrong with the music. I mean, it's not to say that hip-hop is dead. I'm not saying R&B is dead. But all I could say is that where's the originality to it? Because there was a time that whenever you heard an R&B song, everyone had their own sound. Like, now you have neo-soul, where people are taking R&B back. And now back to hip-hop. The problem with rap, like I said, the originality is gone. People are sounding alike. But meanwhile, you have underground guys who are doing it the way it was done before. They're doing the flow, they're doing the freestyle. And now when you say that Justin Timberlake and Macklemore, it's like, I'm not trying to sound racist or anything, but whenever a white person, white artist, sing R&B, whether it's jazz or whatever, they'll take it and make it their own. And that's where the art of it is lost. And that's the problem with the music today. It's like
the art of it
no
is lost. I'm sorry,
yeah,
but you sound ridiculous.
No, I'm not trying
what about
to sound
what
ridiculous.
About artists like Frank Sinatra
I'm just saying
artists like that who sang jazz
listen,
and blues
listen,
and
listen,
who paved the way
not,
for everybody else.
Listen. What I'm saying is about the art of its loss. Like, you see the people who originate the music, like, they'll feel that way. They'll feel like it's commercialized. That's how they see it. Like, man,
but it's always been commercialized.
But,
look at what Puff Daddy did in the late 90s. He commercialized
What he did with hip-hop, he brought it to a mainstream. And it was done before Puff Daddy. Because Run DMC, when they collaborated with Aerosmith to make Walk This Way, that's what transcended rap. So you see, the thing is, a lot of the musicians feel that way. I'm speaking from a musician's point of view, if you understand what I'm saying. Then I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying anything bad. A lot of people feel that way. That's what a lot of people feel. I generally don't feel that way because, hey, like you could ask Hot Rod, I am a fan of all types of music.
Okay, so you basically answered my second part of the question, K-Dog. And Sean, you can jump in on this. Do you think all artists sound the same now?
Yeah. That's the thing, no originality. I mean, everyone does the same beat. That's what I hear in rap. I mean, okay, when you hear
Drake. Yeah, but that's always. Darling, don't you remember how rap was when we were teenagers? Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang, they all sounded the same.
No, they didn't. They sounded different.
What are you talking about? They all,
for me,
what are you talking about?
For me, Wu-Tang had their...
Jodeci,
each of them,
Boyz
II
Men, they all sang the same
rhyme. They didn't, because you know what? Boyz II Men was a four-part harmony group. They were like the modern-day doo-wop. Where Jodeci, they were soulful, but they were different from Boyz II Men. And the thing is, with Wu-Tang and Mobb Deep, you could tell the difference. But now, Drake, when he raps, and even though I don't consider Drake hip-hop, I really don't, Drake sounds too much like Lil Wayne. And that's the thing. It's like everyone has the same. And it's the same
beat. Have you heard
what
Lil Wayne sounds like?
Yeah,
I've heard what completely different
like.
Artist.
But Drake tries to sound like him, and I hear that.
No, he doesn't.
Know about
you're
that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're
100%
wrong.
Hold on. I think Kato's trying to say is Drake, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj. I think the reason why I brought this topic up again is because we all listen to music, and it's like one song they sound like hip hop, another song they sound like R&B, another song sound like jazz. It's like, what music am I listening to now these days?
Right.
Like Rihanna. When Rihanna first came out, I don't care what anybody say, wasn't Rihanna considered as a reggae artist at first?
Yeah. She was more like dance hall pop kind
dance
of
hall.
True.
And now she's all pop.
And you know, it was changing, but when she crossed over to the dance side or the pop side with Umbrella, she became an international hit. 1, 2, 3. Just like Nicki Minaj. She did rap. She did underground rap. And all of a sudden, she crossed over. So can you blame these artists of crossing over to the pop side? If I did R&B and hip-hop, it was making me money. But if I do pop, I cross over and make even more money. Can you blame these quote unquote artist today?
You have to go where the money is, where the popularity is. Because believe it or not, each genre sells to the other. Like, I could give any genre of music. Classical music, they have their own fan base. Country and Western music, they have their fan base. Heavy metal have their own fan base. And I could go on and on, but when it comes to pop music does have their own fan base. And, you know, if you want to sell records, and it's been known from the music industry, you want to sell records, you have to cross over into something in order to become a mega-selling artist, you know, a multi-selling artist.
To do that, Max, I see you. I'll get to you in a minute. When artists do that, people consider them as sellouts. Or you
cross
them over to the pop
area.
Yes,
they do.
You send out to the white people.
I could give you many examples because it has been known for that. People, fans of a music will look at you and say like this, man, you sold out. Oh, I'm trying to sell records here. No, you're not trying to sell records. You sold out. You lost your art form. You lost your originality.
Okay,
what's going on?
Max,
yeah,
are you there?
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, guys. Yeah.
Hey, Max, what's going on, bro?
You guys are talking about the hip hop thing. Damn, I was hoping something else. But My experience with the hip hop, you know, I'm one of the original old school heads. That's not that. I thought that was a woman's voice back there.
Hey man, just like
my
me,
bad.
Man.
My bad. Like I said, I'm not one of the old hip hop heads, but I'd say that hip hop has changed a lot, only because like most of these artists today are like they're not really serious. They like one hit wonders, and they're gone. That's it, and you don't even remember them anymore. And as far as basically like Nicki Minaj and all these other artists, yeah, they cross over only because they can try to remain powerful or remain famous. So. I mean, hip-hop is not the same anymore. It's just, it used to be underground. It was meant to be underground. But once you cross over, now you just poison it. You kill it.
Oh, so, man, do you have a problem of the white artists coming over to R&B hip-hop? Like, Robin Thicke, Ray McLemore, and Justin Timberlake. Remember, Justin Timberlake got a big heat back then at the Music Awards. So he's the white guy who stole black music. Give or take.
But that's old news. There's been a white artist that's been singing R&B music even back then too. The only problem was they never carried themselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like Frankie Avalon, he sang some R&B songs too, but he never carried himself in acting like he was black. He still went on and conducted himself as who he was. There's a lot of white artists that sang R&B. But they never
did
that.
Were.
It's just they're just like these guys now that you mentioned. They act as if you know I'm part of you guys. It's
well,
like,
you're not.
More insulting. You gotta be careful acting like that because you guys have more options. We don't. You guys can cross over back to others like country or whatever case. We gotta stay where we at.
You know. Max, we were talking about that earlier, and the thing is, it's just like you know, just like you, I'm an old head, I'm a classic head too. I don't call it old, but I call it classic.
Yeah.
See, when you have guys like Hall and Oates, you have Joe Cocker,
yep.
You have Michael
yep.
Bolton, many
they
of them.
They sing R&B.
Yeah, they sing R&B.
Michael
straight
Bolton,
up R&B. Even Rick Astley.
No, Michael
Rick
Bolton
Astley.
Was the first, bro. Michael Bolton was the one that started the whole thing with the controversy. He stole a lot of songs and tried claiming it was his.
Yeah.
He had to go to court, especially the Isaac Brothers. So
yeah, because the Isaac
Brothers
wrote have a huge catalog. And there were many others, even before Michael Bolton. Like, I could say the Righteous Brothers back in the 1960s.
Righteous Brothers also sang R&B, and nobody
yeah,
bothered
was
them.
That was basically the start of Blue Eyed Soul. That's
exactly.
What they called it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bore you guys like, with this topic, but I'll say this with hip-hop, and I remember Big Daddy Kane has said this. Big Daddy Kane himself had always said, my problem with my group, my people from hip-hop,
we don't know how to take care of our catalog.
We don't.
They never knew
we
how
don't.
They don't know how to take care of the catalog because once they're gone, that's it. Everyone will laugh at them. They don't. You can't respect them like the same way you respect the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones
right.
can come back and they have a catalog and people can still know their hits. If you listen to old school hip hop and they try to perform now, those young kids today will laugh at them. They
yeah, they'll say that
the
they're
heads.
Whack.
Yeah, but see,
and
yeah,
they're
me,
whack.
I,
the
yeah, biggest
that's
difference.
That's the thing.
The
okay, hold on. Today hip hop, most of the songs that you hear today, you cannot even understand the words they're doing. They're saying
that's what I'm
most
saying.
Most of the time is mumbled,
yeah.
mumble rap.
Yeah,
well,
as,
it's
as, like you
rap,
said with Lil
yeah,
Wayne.
It's a
slogan,
garbage, man.
It's a slogan. It's
garbage.
Like, see, it's a slogan. They repeat the same slogan. They put the same hook.
See, here's
exactly.
the difference between the stuff with you, as Anitra alluded to earlier, the stuff that we grew up listening to and what you hear now. When we started listening to the hip-hop genre and rap music and R&B back then, it was kind of almost like the germination of it, the beginning of it, where it was
yeah.
more, it was much more based in storytelling, experiences, and also trying to have a good time. Because a lot of those songs and a lot of those genres were done in the clubs or in the basements when people used to have, which a lot of West Indians would call the bashment era, where they would go
yeah.
ahead and create things. It would just be a guy, a turntable, a microphone, and a bunch of his friends, and they would just have fun. And then they took that music and turned it into something that could sell. Now, the thing is, when they took that and turned it into something that could sell, the genre started to evolve, and then a funny thing started to happen. White people started to enjoy the genre, and a lot of record companies that initially thought that the genre was, quote-unquote, that urban music that we heard, they started to, one, like some of the music, and number two, started to see how much money it was starting to make. So as it started to go along, you started to see a lot more of the record companies starting to put a little more muscle behind it. And now you're
mm-hmm.
starting to see more and more of that evolution
we're
going to make money off of this genre of music, and we're going to spread it out as far as we can. And now
okay,
you're starting to see the music that we that they used to talk bad about, you're starting to see them in car commercials. You're starting to hear them in what taking parts of songs
mm-hmm.
that were meant for something else and being used to sell toothpaste or
being
used to sell tires of some sort
sure,
to make more
Sean,
money
Sean,
and monetize.
Well, hold on. What happened to the music back then, the music you make love to a woman, to a man, the Barry White, the
that's gone out the
Luther
window,
Bagley.
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
That's not hip hop. You're talking about R&B, though.
But let's talk about
R&B. R&B's still there.
R&B's not there anymore, also. R&B
but
had
you know what
also.
It is? This is the thing that I want to tell you guys. Don't forget who runs the record companies now. Big corporations run these record companies. And so record labels no longer run themselves. Now, these record labels are going to sign any artist just to make money. They'll say, hey, we're going to sign you up. Like Max and Sean, do you guys remember that video that Third Base had about Gas Space?
Mm-hmm.
And where
yeah.
they showed the parody of the guy saying like this, oh, sign your name on the list. Sign your name. Go ahead. Now, these artists don't read the contracts that they're signing. And I'm just going to go into the business aspect of it, and I'm just going to tell you why the genre has changed. They'll sign anybody to a contract. And that's the sad part about it. Anyone who could sell a record with a face or whatever, they get recording deals.
Remember, the most
okay.
popular story is the NWA, when Ice Cube did tell everybody, yo, I'm not signing all any damn contract. That's what started the whole thing. I'm going to take you to court. He was the first artist to go AWOL, the first.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a generation gap also, because remember, our mm-hmm. parents thought our music was stupid.
Oh, of course.
No, they always
so it's
did.
Not
and
unusual that we think that the music that the younger generation that we think it's stupid. I mean, this is just what happens.
Anitra, you just said something that's very interesting, and I agree with you on that, because listen, it's been going on throughout history, because I'm just going to go into
it.
I'm just going to go into it. In the 1920s, when jazz was evolving, you know how many people, great society, the high society criticized jazz because they said it lacked melody. They did not understand the syncopation. And the same thing happened in the 1950s with rock and roll. Parents went into an uproar versus jazz. So
exactly.
You see, each generation criticizes each generation of music. It never changes.
It's common sense.
But hip-hop is about rebellion. It's like just like how punk, metal,
just
and
like
all
what
types.
Rock and roll
was.
Yeah,
country music that had rebellion also. Yeah, country music that was also about rebel music. You had a lot of that stuff, and that was their way of regress. But the problem with today's hip hop is pretty much junk material.
It is.
It's just nasty. It's just nasty and junk.
Beyond rebel. So Max, what about the rapper Young M.A., Young Ma, whatever her name is?
Oh gosh, I want to throw up.
Oh my goodness, man!
And she's a garbage rapper, but she's getting a lot of credits from the street. She's from Brooklyn,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. I just heard her, and they were talking about. They were talking about because she's different. She's different.
Yeah, she's an aggressive fan.
So what?
And
you're different. You still
right. What can you do?
The material.
Freestyle?
It's your material.
Right.
Still garbage.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So what about Eminem? A white guy. I love Eminem. I believe he's a great rapper.
He had a material, though. You know that, Rodney. It's insulting to even compare him to her.
It
he
is.
He had a material.
Very.
Yeah. With a lot of these artists, like you said, with Eminem and guys like that, it's a lot of it is about having the talent, but also having, as Matt said, material, and also having life experience. What Eminem used in his music was pretty much what he went through. And there was a time when rap especially was looked at as that urban black music that nobody could understand. When that crossover started to happen, when you started to get the young white teenagers that were into it, that were either into skateboarding or started to get into the culture of it, especially during the 90s when the grunge started to come out and you started to seeing more of teenagers crossing over into hip-hop and that kind of culture, they started to pay attention to it more. So then that started to cross over and get those kids wanting to get into the music. Now, overseas in Europe, hip-hop, especially in Japan and in a lot of countries in Germany and a lot of places of Europe, they love hip-hop. And it doesn't matter if you're white, Asian, German. They don't care who you are. It'll sell. The thing is, in this country now, what we've had is so much of the garbage, as we've been talking about, because it's like a stylistic change of what the essence of what is in that song. What we had, like, in the 2000s, what started to happen, and it crossed over into a lot of dancehall music as well for those that listen to reggae and dancehall hip-hop. You had a lot of people starting to use auto-tune. Auto-tune, which people had their voices change, and it's become now a throwaway. It's just as common as a drum riff. It's just as common as a 2-4 beat as opposed to a 1-3 beat. And almost every artist at some point has used it somewhere. I mean, even Cher used it in her song. And when you hear those kinds of things cross over into all music, everybody feels that they can pull from it and take some of that and put it in their own, take their own spin on it. And I think when you got the money behind it, that you're pushing towards the masses to sell that amount of CDs and sell that amount of records and sell that amount of songs, and then the heavy rotation of the same song being played over and over again, mostly pushed by the record companies, you're going to start to get that proliferation of the same kind of stuff that, as we used to say, well, that's not the same kind of music I used to listen to when I was young, because each genre, each generation has changed. As Anitra stated before, there was a substance difference between what was going into the music then as opposed to now. where there were different causes back then. You know, the 80s, it was all about being recognized. In the 90s, it was about, you know, we're starting to make some money now, getting away from getting into the drug culture that was so big and what was happening. The 2000s was the dot-com bubble. Everybody's making rich. Everybody wants to be a pimp. Now we're in the 2010s, and everything is auto-tune and smack the woman
laziness.
Up and all the other stuff that
it's
you hear in the music a lot.
It's laziness.
Okay, hold on. I have another caller on the air. Hello, caller.
Hi. I'm not here to talk about hip-hop. I was here last week. We were talking about relationships. I want to know if you're going to get around to that sometime tonight.
No relationships today. Well,
nothing
what
tonight.
Question? I got 9 minutes left. What do you want to know about relationships? I got the answer.
Oh, you do?
Oh, Lord.
If I have
goodness
to
gracious.
That's
I
good
gotta
to
get
know. In. Got good to know. Because I don't have the answers. You got the answers. All right, I'm listening.
No. What's your question? I have the answer. Trust me. I'm Mr. Relationship. I got the answers for everything.
Okay.
Goodness gracious.
So, what do you think a woman should do to enhance a relationship that she's in?
Easy. Treat your man right.
And
cook for him. Plead for him.
Okay.
Encourage him. Do not bring the man down. Encourage him to do better.
So
woman
you want...
Today,
all right. So you want... Let's say I'm the woman. All right. Because I've had these conversations before. And I'm the woman. So you want me to be a submissive slave, huh?
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, because I'm talking from a woman's perspective, okay? Because what you've just said is rational. Now, how many women do you know can you talk to rationally?
I say that all the time. And maybe that's why I get treated like that. But we discussed it last week. Females are very hard to please.
Yes, they are.
Most men are easy to please compared to a woman. So,
can I add something to that? Basically, I heard the show last week, and I think it was one of the best shows. And most of the points that the gentleman made was true. And the thing that I think the missing thing was also that was ignored was productivity. It's like who's producing, and I understand he was saying basically like the man has to bring something to the table, which is true. Both sides have to bring something to the table. And the man, if the woman is making far more money than the man, he has to bring something that's going to be contributed that she doesn't have. And, you know, both sides have to do something what the other person's not doing. And the man can't be lazy.
It doesn't have to be 50-50. It could be 60-40.
Right.
70-30.
You still think about money. Right.
You still think about money.
Max, speak first. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Max.
It's not about money either. It's like, let's say the man owns properties and the woman may make more money than she does, but he owns the property. He owns the house under his name. So if she makes 90 grand, he makes 40 grand, he still owns the home. And he probably has a portfolio, she doesn't. So he's helping her as far as helping her finance and helping her get out of debt. So he's doing his part as saying, I'm doing things where you're not doing.
But a man could be independent on his own, right? Just like a woman can. I'm talking about 50-50, I'm talking about how much they put into relationship, financially, emotionally, everything. It doesn't have to be 50-50. Everybody wants 50-50 now these days.
50-50 is a fallacy.
That
almost never happens. As I
stated last week,
you have to meet the other person for the needs that they're looking for, and it adjusts depending on what's happening at the time. Maybe you need 30%, maybe you need 60%, maybe with that rare occasion you do meet 50-50, but there has to be a compromise, and it has to be the compromise that doesn't make you change internally who you are just for that person. There has
because
to be an evolution involved
because
as well.
Because the thing is, sometimes you can give as much as you can to this person. Because I agree, a relationship should be equal, but sometimes you're in a relationship and you might find the person giving you 100%, 100% of everything, but yet the other person might feel like, oh, you're not giving that much. You're not putting all of that in the, and you're doing the best you can, but
what
like
is the best
Rock
you
said,
can? What, but that's the thing.
The
what
best
is the
you
best
can.
You
okay.
can?
Well, if you remember.
You're there for this. Okay, let me repeat it. Let me just say this. You're with that person more than ever. You're trying your best to make this person happy. You put everything you can into that relationship.
But what is, all right, as far as what?
Yeah, but see,
as
remember
as,
last week, remember what I said about relationships at the very beginning.
As far as it goes to communication.
At the beginning.
As far as it goes to doing the things that you can do together, like planning things out, doing things together with this person.
But see, remember when I said last week how to sort all this out? Because what we're talking about now is 50-50, 30-60, everything. But you're finding all of this out once you're in a relationship. We should find all of this out before you get into a relationship.
Right.
That's right.
Remember,
I agree.
Said you
That's
had
right.
a, my philosophy
before.
Was you sit down on a piece of paper and
mm-hmm.
you write it out.
I agree with him.
I agree.
Because you
otherwise,
gotta show your leadership skills too.
Yeah.
You gotta show your leadership. You gotta be bold. You can't be married to another woman if you're not bold. You have to be the man that's bold in the relationship. You have to be
mm-hmm.
that bold leader, the calm, cool, collective leader.
Yes, you give in your best. What is your best? What your best? You give it to us in one relationship. Now might not be satisfied enough for your partner.
And you know why? Because that percentage is based on perception. It's going to depend on the perception of that person. And what they feel that percentage has value to them, and in what way. Because not everybody judges what you think as 100% as all that they want. Because even if
right.
you're putting in 30, 40, 50%, it may be on your side that's what you're doing. You feel you're meeting them halfway or to what they're
but
looking
you're
for.
Not.
But you're not because you don't know what that other person values as that percentage that they are looking for. And that's where that communication part comes in that a lot of couples just don't have anymore. And if they are
right.
true to who they are and they're true to accept the critique between the two, then you can have that real dialogue and then find out what that other person wants or what they perceive as what they feel that they need in that relationship. And that's missing in a lot of relationships.
It's a
okay.
lack of communication, too.
Well,
yeah,
well,
but
guys,
a lot of it, gentlemen,
but,
a lot of
go
it
ahead,
has
Anita.
To do where you are, where you are in life. Like, for example, I'm in my late 30s. I have a career, not a job, two different things. I live
mm-hmm.
on my own. I've been on my own. But as a woman of my stature to, let's say, date a man, let's say, that still lives at home, that's a problem for me. Because in my eyes, if I fall, he can't possibly pick me up. Because he's still at home with
You don't
mom.
Know that, though. You don't know that for sure.
But
no,
see,
she's right.
I'm not
right.
Gonna,
right. She's right.
But,
Rodney.
But see,
no, she's right.
Right.
But you don't know that for sure. But
yeah,
guys,
but see,
I'm sorry.
There's a reason why, even for a woman to be, like, I'm just it's just one example. For something like that to work, you have to be on the same level, because then you're assured that okay, this he or she is on the same platform as me.
And that example
right
falls into what I was talking about by
right.
perception.
Yeah, it's
because
always
it's
about
the perception of what
you're. Why does it always have to be about financial? Remember, don't forget.
No, it has
mm-hmm.
been on, a lot of times. It's
exactly.
had nothing to do with financial. It just has
well,
to
do with financial.
You don't have
what,
to make a
what,
lot of money and
out.
Be self-sufficient.
Exactly.
It's not financial.
Saying,
it's not financial.
No, no, no. What
go,
she was just saying, it was based on financial, because you just finished saying, if you fall down, you don't know if that guy can pick you up. But
it's got nothing to do with a lot having a lot of money. You don't have to make a lot of money to be self-sufficient.
Why did
go.
You say you were kind of disparaging towards the guy who was staying at home? Suppose the guy's a poet. Suppose the guy's an artist. Suppose the guy's an author. He doesn't like the rat race. What he wants to do is his own thing. He's very
all
good.
Right.
He's very good
but
towards.
But we have to go, guys. We will continue this conversation
okay.
next week. Thanks so much, everyone, for calling in. I'm your host with them all, the Hot Rod, with the rest of the guys. Tune in next week, Monday night, 10:30. We will continue this conversation and talk about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Pick your poison. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Later. To all. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Oh, boy.
By the way, I am the King of Kings, and have a good night, everyone.